Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Next Causa podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Justin Adams. In today's episode, we've decided that the next few episodes will be part of a headache series. And in this series, we will dig deeper into the science, the diagnosis and treatments of headaches often seen in our rooms as chiropractors, also to help other professions understand what we do as chiropractors in our approach to headaches. Because the topic of headaches is quite a large one to cover, we've decided that we'll be breaking up the series into three parts, which we will cover the next few months for you guys. In the past, through our CASA branch meetings, CASA Congress, through our discussions and through our experiences as chiropractors, we've all been exposed to mainstream medicine, as we would call it, or the allopathic model in which headaches have been managed from neurologist perspectives, pain specialists, and the like. But today, and in the next few episodes, we want to approach this from a chiropractic perspective, how we as chiropractors can better diagnose and manage headaches in our practice in a holistic way. With that, it brings us to our guest for the next few episodes and today's guest, Dr. Marnie Krier. Dr. Krier, a self-described hoof pain Macy, the headache girl with a mission. As a chiropractor with a special interest in headaches, Marnie stumbled upon her unique perspective 6 years ago into private practice. What began as a personal revelation, tracking her own headaches and realizing their true frequency, evolved into a journey of self-discovery and empowerment. Marnie delved deep into understanding her headache triggers, employing a holistic approach that encompasses physical activity, stress management, and meticulous self-tracking. Armed with her insights, she crafted the Hoof Pain Macy Diary, a companion for high-achieving headache girls everywhere. Marnie seeks to shatter headache misconceptions and offers solace to those who have felt lost in their headache journey. She champions the idea of individualized management in her consultation as a chiropractor. She employs joint manipulation, dry needling, and tailored advice for behavioral and lifestyle changes to support her treatment. In today's upcoming interview, Marnie aims to delve deeper into the complexities of headaches, offering insights from her expertise and personal experiences. Her goal is to provide practical knowledge that may help others manage their headaches and improve their quality of life. Welcome, Marnie.
Thank you so much for having me. This is exciting. I've never been on a podcast before.
It's quite a fun thing to do. I think it's only my third podcast that I'm hosting, but it gets easier with each one. So hopefully it bites, and maybe this is something bigger for your Hoof Pain Macy Diary and maybe your Hoof Pain podcast going forward.
I think podcasts are a lot of work, so kudos to you guys.
So as mentioned, Marnie, headaches aren't really a topic that, I mean, when I was in third year and we covered headaches, it was a whole year of understanding headaches. And it was a lot to cover, a lot to absorb, and a lot of overlap with a lot of headaches. So we will be covering this over the next 2 to 3 episodes. And based on your recommendation, we will start right at the beginning. So what does that bring us to in today's episode, and what will we be focusing on?
When I was compiling my notes for this episode, I called it part one, start from the top, which is sort of like the clinical pearls that I've put together in terms of taking a history from someone that has a headache complaint. Since I have special headache appointments, that's an hour long that I spend with my patients. And the main thing that I see with these patients is that they have quite a mistrust of healthcare and health professionals. Have you seen that before in your practice?
Yeah, but I had a patient last week who's been suffering with chronic headaches for 3 months, who has been through the ringer, through the system, through every specialist. And after one session, he was in tears because his words were, "Why didn't I come here in the first place? No one told me that this could help. No one told me that my problem was coming from my neck." So yeah, it is a very, very big problem that I think that the professionals, medical professionals out there don't really have a good understanding of, well, in my opinion, there are a few, but I'm not generalizing, that they don't have a great understanding of the origins of headaches and what other options there are out there besides medications for patients.
Yeah. So majority of patients will have primary headache disorders. So they'll have migraine or tension type or one of those classifications. When they are looking for secondary headache, in most cases in the medical field, so they're looking for headaches that are a symptom of another problem, so either hypertension or infection or tumor. And I find those things have some kind of evidence, right? You take the person's blood pressure, they've got high blood pressure, they've got a headache because of that. Easy to spot. But when it comes to migraines and tension type headaches, there's no test. The only thing that you can take off is the patient's word. And that's why I wanted to start with your history taking, because you have to sit there and listen to the person. Not a lot of people take the time to do that. So I've put together a couple of things that I have thought of. What do I include when I ask a patient about their headache problem that might help the listeners that are patients that you can elaborate better with your current healthcare professional chiropractor and maybe some of my colleagues that are interested in sharpening their skills in terms of headache patients.
Great. So you mentioned that in your practice, you have separate appointments. One may be for whatever it is, a spinal condition or musculoskeletal problem, but then you do have the option of a person that is looking for treatment for a headache and they can choose a headache appointment. What are you doing in the case of a person that comes in with musculoskeletal, let's say they've come in for lower back pain, they've hurt their lower back, and through your history, you've identified through asking questions that they are a chronic headache sufferer. Are you adapting your history taking, or are you telling them, you know what, I see there is your primary concern is your lower back, but you do have chronic headaches, which you've gotten so used to, you've actually given up on treating. I want to help you. Do you now schedule a separate appointment in which you do another history, or do you just work off your initial that you're doing with the person for their lower back pain?
I think it's an interesting question, and it's part of one of the questions that I ask the patient, and that's, what do you hope to gain out of this appointment? And what is your ideal outcome? So if that person is looking for someone that will help them, guide them to find their triggers and manage the problem themselves, and it's sort of like a self-discovery exercise, which is something more that I would do in a headache consultation, I probably would book them for a separate consultation. But if they're looking for relief of their headaches along with some of the other complaints that they might have, I just would adapt most likely. So it really depends on what the patient wants.
Now, if we really start digging into the reason for today's episode, we are focusing on history taking, and we're going to take this from your perspective because you have a specialist interest in headaches. You've done a lot more studying and research into headaches because you were and maybe still are a headache sufferer. A patient walks in, I'm your patient, patient A, I've booked an appointment because I see that you help with headaches. Take me through, what should we as chiropractors be asking and how should we be approaching a person that has a headache from the top?
So I have in no particular order things that you can include in your history that you might not generally ask someone that comes in for another musculoskeletal complaint. And that starts off with, when you're taking the past medical history, is finding out if they have any family members with headaches. Obviously, we know that some, like migraines, run in families. Another thing that you need to definitely ask about is recent trauma or traveling for infection reasons. And obviously with trauma, you'll look at your secondary headaches. You would then ask your patient, have you identified any of your headache triggers already? And I've put a list here together if you don't know what the headache triggers, common triggers are. It's alcohol, caffeine withdrawal, dehydration, bright light, noise, exercise, neck stiffness and pain. Menstrual cycle factors are another one that you can consider. And you can take these things one by one and ask the patient, or you can already just say, like, do you know of anything that makes your headaches worse? Then a very important one is, who else has this patient seen? Because you've already said it. I don't think people naturally go to chiropractic for this problem. That's not the first call. So most of these patients have, like you said, given up on getting an answer because they've been pillar to post, they've seen everyone. So it's very important that you note, who have they seen? What have they tried to alleviate their headaches, and what special investigations have they already had, so that you don't redo some of those things? Because this patient is already, like I said, I find from my perspective, they mistrust the process already. So it's very important that you take those things into account. Then a very important part for me for the history as well is what kind of medications had the patient tried already. But most importantly, you need to try and establish if the patient may be suffering from medication overuse headaches. And the way that you could do that is with the International Headache Classifications Criteria, which is the patient has a headache for more than 15 days in a month, and they're using medication for more than 10 days in that for the treatment of the headache, and that happens for longer than 3 months and the headache worsens over time. That would be then the diagnosis of medication overuse headaches, unless there's no other diagnosis that's better suited. If you're not familiar with medication overuse headaches, it's literally getting a headache from the medication that you're using to treat your headaches. And it's very important to note that you as a patient can suffer from more than one headache at a time. So you might be a migraine sufferer taking medication for your migraine, but you also have tension type or cervicogenic headaches along with that.
That's an important thing that you just mentioned. A lot of people don't realize, and what I've noticed in practice as well, is that you don't have to have one type of headache. You can have multiple or different types of headache. And is that quite common? Is that a quite a common thing to see?
I think so. And I think the patients would also tell you, like an example of a patient of mine would be, she has a migraine over her period, but it feels different the rest of the month. So we know a migraine has got specific diagnostic criteria. And hopefully in the next couple of episodes, we'll delve into migraine a little bit more because it's very, very interesting. But then the rest of the month, she'll have a different sort of like base of the skull, bilateral on both sides, headache that's not associated with an aura. So the patients usually know that they've got a couple of different types of headaches already, but I don't know if a lot of practitioners consider that. I just wanted to mention, before we finish that thought, to mention the common medications that patients overuse for their headaches.
Yes.
Bonato, Grandpa, Myprodol, Mypaid, Adcodol, Myagrol, Nurofen. So if you're a listener and you overuse those medications, you need to consider alternative treatments, and chiropractic is potentially a good option for you to get over medication overuse headaches.
So, Yomani, you're saying that those, that list of medications, the active ingredients within those medications are known to, in cases, aggravate headaches or make them worse instead of helping them.
So, yep, the patient will have either a diagnosis of tension type or migraine headaches, and then they'll also be diagnosed with medication overuse headaches because of the medication.
So if a patient has is this a case of, I am kind of straying off the topic here, a person that you've identified is overusing medication and is most likely suffering from overused medication headache, would stopping their medication alleviate the headache, or is it just going to stop them from being more intense, allowing for manual therapy to help, or what is
it's
the case?
It's a difficult one. It's a difficult one. We are obviously allowed to make recommendations on medication, but I don't recommend people to stop medications just abruptly. I think that there is also withdrawal to be considered when we talk about medications. I do feel like manual therapy or chiropractic has a good opportunity for the patient to over time use the medications less, and only when it's necessary. Because it would be like the patient doesn't even know that there is something like medication overuse headache. So they have a headache, they take a Panado, they get a headache from that, they take more Panado. And the one specific patient that I'm thinking of, he's got IBS. And he was taking, I think it was Mypaid or Myprodol or Adcodol 3 or 4 times a week.
And their headaches don't get better, and they're wondering why the medications don't help, yet they still continue to take them.
But also that he's got IBS and taking all of their pain meds.
Yeah.
For someone, if you're another health professional listening, I do think if you've identified that a patient has medication overuse headaches, referring to a chiropractor that you trust is definitely a good option for that patient.
Moni, is there anything in your history that, or in a history that a chiropractor, we know the most important things when it comes to headaches, chiropractor, we watch out for those red flags. What, and this is something that we would have discussed at infinitum, we would have mentioned it at all, or to all our patients, and things we always watch out for when a patient comes in with a headache or a very severe headache. What are, in your opinion, what are the most important things we need to identify to understand that that person might not be in the right room right now?
You're specifically referring to red flags on your history taking. So
100%.
Red flags, like I said, recent trauma. If that patient has a headache after a car accident, or they've never had a headache before and they were kicked in the head, I don't know. Recent trauma, I think, is a very important one. But I think like a lot of these things come out in your examination, because you always need to consider some of the secondary headaches when you're taking your history. Like you say, we're looking out for those red flags. And then you will take your vital signs, and obviously blood pressure you need to take, because that's going to tell us, that's a red flag. Obviously that's the person's not going to do anything about their blood pressure as a chiropractor. You need to be taking these people's temperatures, because if it's a infection that's leading to a headache, so meningitis or whatever, that's what you need to look out for. And it's, I think these secondary headaches, I would say, yeah, I'm going to stick with my answer to say it's going to come out in the physical examination more so. Do you have any other ideas of red flag questions that you can ask?
I think the most important one that I've experienced just out of experience in the practice is a sudden onset severe headache that came out of nowhere. No pattern whatsoever. Severe headache associated with nausea and vomiting. the most obvious thing when it comes to that. It doesn't happen very often, but it's just got to happen once in your practice to make you ask that question every single time a person walks into your practice. I think as chiropractors, I find a lot of chiropractors that I've spoken to are quite nervous to treat headaches, just out of fear of what we've been taught and what we know, especially in today's society with sedentary lifestyle and what people are doing out there to their bodies. We get quite scared to be chiropractors to these patients and are very quick to refer out. So I think from history taking, we want to make sure that the person is in the right room, that we know we can possibly help them to some degree. And they definitely have a type of headache that can be managed with manual therapy, whether it's chiropractor or physiotherapist. And yes, we don't advise or speak about medications in that sense, but we can definitely work towards helping that patient making the right decisions to get off those medications that they've become reliant on. And I think that's what I want to make sure that we get out of this for our fellow colleagues, that by learning from these podcasts is that we shouldn't be scared of headaches. We should be able to diagnose them efficiently, and we should be able to be comfortable in referring out when we need to, but also be comfortable helping them and not being scared to adjust them with applying what you are able to teach us.
Yeah. I do think when I luckily get the opportunity to speak to a lot of young grads here in the Western Cape, and I always ask them, like, who's your ideal patient? Who do you like treating? And very few of them actually have an answer. But the one guy said, any patient that gets better is my favorite patient. And I said to him, well, I don't know if that's good for your mental health, because I don't think you're going to make everyone better. But the most important thing that I wanted him to understand is that you're one piece of the puzzle in that person's health, as in that person's healthcare as a chiropractor. You can't be everything for your patient. And I even asked him, so what if a patient comes in and you identified that they actually have something that you can't treat and it's life-threatening and you referred them? Would that also not be someone that you, like, does that mean that patients, you didn't enjoy seeing that patient, or just trying to help him to understand that we're just one part of the person's healthcare and you shouldn't be trying to do everything for every patient?
That brings me to my next question with regarding headaches, is how much of headaches is it multidisciplinary or interdisciplinary approach versus knowing that what we do as chiropractors, depending on how we practice, we can be the one person that can get rid of these headaches?
So we've mentioned a couple of times now that these people usually have seen a lot of other people to manage their problem. And from my personal experience, I think the difference, and it might just not be chiropractic specific, it might be because it's my approach, helping that patient understand their own set of triggers and how they can manage it from behavioral and lifestyle changes. I don't know who else is doing that. They're not getting it from their doctor. I don't know. They might be getting it from their physiotherapists, but prevention in a way that you're empowering your patients with knowledge is something that I find is very important to most chiropractors.
After taking a history, a detailed history, you've identified, okay, I've got an idea of what's going on here. We know this person is suffering from a headache. We do not know if it's primary. We do not know if it's secondary. We may have an idea, but we obviously have to confirm these with our testing and our physical examination. Take me through a routine physical exam for a headache patient that you would recommend to every chiropractor out there.
I don't know if I recommend it to every chiropractor, but I can tell you what I do.
Tell me what you do.
So before I get my patient up after taking their history, and this is something that I think Dr. Brad Byra taught me, to just take a moment and think about what you're going to do next. Doesn't it sound like him when you say that?
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, so he's like, think about what you're going to, take a moment and think about what you're going to do next. And then I sit and I make a list of what is it most likely? And then what is the worst case scenario? And how am I going to rule out the worst case scenario for this patient? But then I've got a little routine that I use for my physical examination. I've only been in practice for 7 years, so I do most of it on the patients. And since I have an hour with the patient, I don't have to rush. But I start with neck range of motion. Then I do coordination and balance. I'll combine it with some of the cranial nerves. So I call it a copy me. So I ask the patient to copy me. Then I do test their coordination, test their facial expression. Then I have them sit down, take their blood pressure. I test their grip strength. Then the rest of the cranial nerves. Then I do the cervical examination, maximal compression, all of those things. And then I have my patient on the back and I look for the usual suspects, sternocleidomastoid, trapezius, suboccipitals, masseter, and I palpate. And I keep the pressure quite a long time. When you're holding someone's SEM, it might take a little while for that headache to start spreading up. So I feel like just feeling it, it might not be worth it. But if you just hold it a little bit and then without trying to prompt the patient, ask where do you feel the pain? Where do you feel this? You can also consider adding auscultation of the carotids, feeling for the lymph nodes, those sort of things, if you're considering that it might be vascular or infectious from your history. And then once I've done all of that, I have the patient set up again, and there's kind of like this final step that I do, and that kind of brings me back to something that we said in the start, is I ask the patient, what do you hope to gain out of this? And I can promise you, like most headache patients, they're not even expecting to feel 100% better. I just want to feel a little bit better, or I just want my neck to not be so stiff. Actually, I don't care about my headaches. I just want my neck to feel better. So then I ask the patient, what is your ideal outcome? And then if it's unrealistic, I always negotiate it, because you do get patients that feel like they're going to get better initially. And from my experience, after someone's been to a chiropractor, they feel their headaches are worse for the next couple of days. So it's very important to have that discussion with the patient to say, this is what you can expect, and this is when I want you to call me. Those steps. And then finally, I want that to figure out, how are we going to measure success? If the patient has had headaches for a long time, you need to make sure that you put in a success measure to figure out, how am I going to know I'm helping this patient? And that can be the amount of headaches that they have. So if they're 7 out of 7 days headaches, maybe reducing that. The amount of medication that they use, that's another good way that you can measure success. Pain scale is something that you can use. And then also percentage perceived improvement. But I'm always looking to my patients in terms of, what do they want and how can we best measure the success of the treatment based on that?
So you've got your objective measurements, but you're also taking a subjective approach in order to understand the patient. And at the end of the day, in the case of a headache, the person says, my intensity of my headaches are down, or the frequency of my headaches are down. So it's a very subjective, because a person might not have a headache and you could feel the various structures are still very upset or very inflamed, and they say, well, I don't have headaches anymore. So it is very subjective in that case as well, I'm sure.
Yeah, but I think it's just, for me, with the approach that I take and the headache tracking that I consider with my patients, I always go, well, the worst case scenario is I'll teach you how to track your headaches and figure out what triggers your headaches, and you can take that on to the next professional that could potentially help you out. And because it's with primary headaches, there's no x-ray, there's no MRI, there's no blood test that can, we can see things that contribute to it, but it's likely that the only thing that the patient can do is track their headaches and see how many days in a month they have headaches, so that we can see which international headache classification diagnosis do they best fall under.
This is where it reminds me of when patients ask me, why did my doctor not figure this out? Why did my doctor not tell me about this? Why was it not picked up on the x-ray? And I like to explain to them that x-rays, CTs, MRIs, yes, they're trying to look for that worst case scenario or looking for something secondary that may be causing the headache. But at the end of the day, as chiropractors, we can assess movements and we can assess function. And a lot of the time when I am treating headaches that are successful, it just comes down to creating movement within the neck or the thoracic spine and basically just getting those trigger points to calm down. And it's something that I think as chiropractors, we are very good at. Yes, physiotherapists work very well with the muscular structures, but as chiropractors, feeling that joint movement, that range of motion is so important when it comes to neck pain associated with headaches, something that we are brilliant at and something that makes us unique in our approach to treating headaches.
Yeah, I agree with that. Obviously, I've seen the results.
So we will dig deeper into the types of headaches, because I'm sure a lot of listeners would want to find out what are the various symptoms of different type of headaches. And we do know that a lot of headaches overlap, and that will happen over the next couple episodes. And you'll be able to explain to us how we should go about what we should be looking for in certain headaches within the body, what symptoms and signs we're looking for, and how best you find the management approach to that is. And you can also let us in on your little headache diary and how that has helped you in practice, especially within the female population, because it is a huge problem that we do see, is that the female population do suffer a lot more from headaches than the male population. That stands to prove from any research, but just from what I see in practice, I'm very interested to see what you've noticed within that and how your headache diary has helped you in managing your patients. I'm sure our listeners would love to listen to that as well. Before we close off for the evening, is there anything else that you think that our listeners should know about the history and the examination of a patient with a headache?
A very, very important last part that I want to point out is never, ever, ever ask a headache patient if they're drinking enough water. They have heard that question a billion times. And the thing that you need to build up with a headache patient is you want them to trust you. And the moment you ask them, do you drink enough water? They're going to think you're exactly the same as every other person. And I mean, the research supports it. Drinking water does not take a headache away. But the added on to that is being chronically hydrated adds to headaches. So you should take already having a headache and then drinking water doesn't work. Okay. For everyone that's listening, please stop asking.
Yeah.
We know that being dehydrated gives you headaches, but drinking water after the fact just doesn't work. So I have designed a couple of questions around figuring out if a person is hydrated or not. And it might be a little bit uncomfortable for people, but I usually ask people, what color was your urine today? And a lot of people don't know that they can actually look at what color was my urine and how hydrated I am based off of that. And then like, what are the other symptoms, you know, dry lips. And, you know, some people will also say, yeah, but you know, I'm always trying to drink 2 liters of water a day. When you can be looking at what is your body saying? How much water do I need today? Because if it's a hot day out, you will need more water or whatever the case may be. Yep. So if you can teach your patients what are the signs of dehydration and how they can look for them and then drink water accordingly if they have headaches, it's way better than asking them, do you drink water? Because that's going to make them feel like, oh no, not this again.
To add to that, there's no such thing as a normal headache.
Yeah, I just have my normal headaches.
All too often in practice.
Yeah.
Normal amounts of pain. I've got a high pain threshold, so I'm okay. Well, thanks, Marnie. I really appreciate those little clinical pearls and helping us understand just a little bit into the world of headaches. And I'm sure you could talk about this for hours and hours and hours. So what we would like from our listeners for the next two episodes in which we cover various types of headaches, are there any questions that you guys may have from tonight's episode or any questions you may have for Marnie with regards to headache within practice that you would like a little bit of insight on or anything that you've noticed in practice that has helped you, because we want to help everyone become better chiropractors when it comes to headaches. So please don't hesitate. You can drop a comment underneath this on the social media and please let us know what you would like to ask Marnie. So with that said, I'd like to thank Marnie for joining us this evening. We will touch base with her in a few weeks' time, in which we'll start going over our primary headaches. And like I said, we look forward to chatting to her more. And we look forward to hearing all your guys' comments about tonight's episode. And please do stay interactive and help us out with the comments, questions, likes, share this. And we look forward to chatting all again in a few weeks' time. Thank you, Marnie.
Thank you for having me.